On behalf of the family and the local congregation, I want to welcome everyone to this special service, the solemn service. All of us here are grieving over the unexpected loss of our dear brother Mose. But our hearts especially go out to his dear wife Rhoda, with whom he enjoyed over 54 years of marriage. May God's grace and comfort be with you today. We also extend our condolence to Myron and Lisa and the family. I'm sure that your father, grandfather, and great-grandfather will be sorely missed. And also to brothers and sisters, other close relatives, God's grace to you today. The passing of our brother has been a great shock to the local congregation here, to whom he has faithfully ministered for over 19 years since this church was founded, and for a number of us for several years prior to that as well. While we knew that our brother Moses was getting older, we didn't expect him to be gone this soon. As his fellow minister for the last 5 years, I keenly feel the loss. I feel very blessed to have been a part of the ministry team with him. I feel like I've been very honored. I've learned much from him over the years. I hoped to have several more years at least to learn more. But God knows best. We trust him for that. So while we mourn our great loss, we rejoice in our brother's great gain. We are confident that he's now in the presence of the Lord, whom he loved dearly with all his heart. We have a living hope of a resurrection to come, in which this body that is being laid to rest in the grave today will be brought to life again, resurrected, transformed, have a new body without aches and pains. Body is going to live eternally. So we don't mourn as those who have no hope. If we are faithful to the Lord, we can have the confidence that we will be reunited with him one day. I'd like to share the order of the service here. We'll begin with two congregational songs led by Brother John D. Martin, a longtime friend of Brother Mose. My first memories of Brother John goes back probably 35 years ago when he spoke to a small group gathered in the basement of the Spanish Mennonite church there in New Holland. I would guess that the friendship extended several years earlier than that. I don't know how far back they go, but it's many years. Following the songs, there will be a scripture meditation by Brother John Ray Nault, who's been a close friend of Brother Mose for probably nearly 30 years. He's served as a ministerial assistant at Charity before assisting with the first local church plant up in Lebanon County, Harmony Christian Fellowship. After Brother John, there will be a children's song. Brother Mose enjoyed singing. I think most of us know that. And he enjoyed when the children in the church would get up during their sharing time in the service and sing songs. And so they'll be sharing a song here with us. Following the first meditation, following that, Brother Daniel Keniston will be sharing the next time. Brother Daniel knew Brother Mose practically all his life. Ever since his father, Brother Danny Keniston, moved here with his family to Pennsylvania to help Brother Mose establish Charity Christian Fellowship in 1982. So we're grateful to Brother Daniel for traveling these many miles from Ghana, Africa, to be with us here today. Following that, Brother James Myers, the deacon in the local congregation, will be reading the obituary. Then we'll have another congregational song, followed by three eulogies by Aaron Hurst, Paul Hirschberger, and Myron Stolzfus. And then it will be some closing songs. So this time, turn the time over to our brother John.
Good morning, and greetings to all of you, my sympathies to the family. My first memory of Brother Mose was on a bus that originated at Hartville, was on its way to New York City for a street meeting, and we were in the front of the bus, and it didn't take me long to learn that I had met somebody just as opinionated as I was. And Brother Mose has been a challenging person to sharpen iron with ever since. He was a blessing in my life in many ways, not only spiritually, but also physically. We sold frozen food out of his storage. We built our house without a mortgage. As a result, Mose kept that truck running, kept the refrigeration working, and I could never repay everything that I owed to Brother Mose. We're going to sing the music of heaven. It's in your bulletin. I don't think we realize how unique a Christian funeral service is. There is nobody in the world that has a funeral with hope and joy mingled with it. That is unique. I don't think we realize that. And I envy Brother Mose this morning because he's hearing the music of heaven. And honestly, I honestly think when we get there, the Hallelujah Chorus, which we're going to sing at the end, is going to sound like Mary Had a Little Lamb. And we're going to hear God sing. Did you know God's a singer? And Jesus, I'm sure, is a singer. And like I said, I envy Brother Mose. And this is the only activity on this earth that we're going to do in heaven. Someday the preaching will all be over, the praying will all be over, everything we do here will all be over, but we will still be singing. So let's sing the music of heaven. I can't sing those high notes, so the desk can't you take your part. Though the music of heaven is sweeter in measure and pure in every strain than the music of earth, though it fills us with pleasure as it thrillingly rolls over valley and plain. Oh, music of heaven, so rich and so sweet. Oh, music of heaven, so rich and so sweet. Than any that mortal e'er told, and the mansions of glory forever are chiming with songs that arise to the Savior enthroned. Oh, music of heaven, so rich and so sweet. Oh, music of heaven, so rich and so sweet. Oh, joy that it brings us so full and complete. Now turn to number 138. There are two reasons why the Christian can sing. Number one is Jesus is the only person who can completely take the sin off our record. All the other religions in the world are one version or another of trying to do enough good to outweigh the bad. But Christianity has a means by which we can stand before God just as if we never sinned. And I don't really think we appreciate that like we should. And the other reason why we can have so much joy is because there is going to be a resurrection. All right. His being, our being, death cannot destroy. I want you to note that in this song. Our being cannot be destroyed by death. Death can do everything but that. The word bade is pronounced bad in verse 4. Okay? Lift your glad voices in triumph on high. Lift your glad voices in triumph on high, for Jesus has risen and man shall not die. Vain were the terrors that gathered around him, and short the dominion of death and the grave. He bursts from the
I too want to extend greetings to one and all who have gathered here today, and also to those many who are probably listening in. I know there are those who would have a desire to be here but are not able, and I know that some of those are probably listening in, and we want to extend greetings to all. And also extend sympathies. We are here today grieving the loss of a loved one, but also rejoicing that one has crossed the finish line, and we have confidence has crossed it with joy. And so we're gathered here today, family, Sister Rhoda, Myron and your family, grandchildren, brothers and sisters, the many friends whose lives have been touched by Brother Mose over the last probably nearly 40 years or more, many work associates who you have interacted with Mose for many years. And today we recognize that we all will feel a keen sense of loss. Each in our own way. Each in our own life. That spot that Brother Mose held in our hearts and in our lives. The pain of his parting will be felt for weeks, months, and years. But as was said, we sorrow not as others who have no hope. The Ecclesiastes writer says, "There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war." And that is so true. You know, none of us have power over the day of death, the length of our life, how many years will be given us. We do not control that. That is in God's hands. Paul's testimony in 2 Timothy was, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." And I believe that was Brother Moses' testimony, and would have been, I believe, if he could have, in the very last moments of his breath, expressed some thoughts. I believe he would have had this testimony, that he has fought a good fight. He's finished his course. As we think about a meditation this morning, as I have thought about the meditation, I've thought about all the lives, all the individuals whose lives have been touched by our brother Mose and his ministry, particularly. I personally, as Brother Nathan said, have known Brother Mose for 30 years. And the first 10 years of my knowing Brother Mose, I spent quite a bit of time with him, actually. Traveled together. Preached together, prayed together, many things. Over the more recent years, our ministries were more distant from each other, and yet I always held that friendship in my heart, and the opportunities we had to still interact were precious. But one of the things about Brother Mose is he preached the gospel at every opportunity he had. He preached in churches. He preached in community buildings. He preached in fire halls. He preached in living rooms. He preached in restaurants. He preached at community tent meetings. He preached under the mango tree in Haiti. Every opportunity that presented itself to him, our brother Mose was sharing the things of Christ, the Word of God, instructing concerning the things of God. And as I pondered that, I pondered what was the motivation that burned in our brother's heart that caused him to, at every opportunity, in any kind of circumstances and situations, to preach Christ, to make him known. What was it that was burning in his heart? And I know the simple answer, like it is, you know, the right answer in children in the Sunday school when the children ask a question is God. You know, but I want to go just a little bit beyond that. And yes, it is God, but I'd like to answer that question this morning. What was it that was burning in our brother's heart? I'd like to answer that question with 2 points here. You and I, many of you, were the recipients of Brother Moses' ministry. You and I were some of those who he met in those various places. who He poured out His heart to in ministering and helping us find our way in whatever dilemma or situation in life we found ourselves, whatever confusions, whatever disillusionments, whatever sins, whatever bondages, whatever witchcrafts, whatever we found ourselves in. He poured out His life to us, to help us, to minister to us, to see us find freedom in Christ. You and I were the recipients of that ministry many, many times. I'd like to, for our scripture this morning, turn to Philippians chapter 3. As we consider two points that I believe were at the some of the core, I say some of it, because I can't include it all, but at the core of what was beating in His heart as He poured out His life for many. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 7, and we'll read to verse 9 at this for the first point. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. As we think about this matter of what was driving our brother, what was the burning passion of his heart, the first point I'd like us to consider is that his burning passion was that you and I would be found in Christ, not having our own righteousness. Not trying to somehow establish our own righteousness as so to find an acceptance with God. But that we would be found in Christ and have that righteousness which is of faith, which is of God by faith. That was a burning passion in the heart of our brother as he ministered to people. That people, that those that he ministered to would find that their own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That they would be born again, as John says it in John 3. That they would have experienced a new life in Jesus Christ. That they would be delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, as Paul says in Colossians. That was, I believe, one of the burning passions that drove our brother. That we would be found in Him. Colossians 1:12-14 reads as follows, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That we would experience just that. Have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Being translated from the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of sin, the kingdom of selfishness, the kingdom of selfish lusts, translated from that into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Having been born anew by the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11, and I'll read the ESV. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And brothers and sisters, that was the passion of our brother's heart that drove him to minister and reach out to many of us in his lifetime. That we, who once were adulterers, fornicators, thieves, greeds, drunkards, revilers, swindlers, whatever, but we were washed. He wanted to, Brother Mose wanted to see us be washed, washed in the blood of the Lamb, sanctified, justified, made a new creature by the Spirit of our God and by the Lord Jesus Christ. That was his passion for us, each of us, those of us who he ministered to. That having realized our lost condition, realized our need of a Savior through repentance and faith in the blood atonement of Jesus provided at Calvary, we would find a new life in him, in Jesus. That was the burning heart. That was one of the things that I believe it's fair and honest to say burned in the heart of our brother. That those who he ministered to would experience just that. Just that. Delivered from the bondage of sin. Delivered from the power that... Delivered from the torments that sin brings. And translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. This was his heartbeat. Scripture tells us in Matthew, Jesus says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it." And again, that was the passion of our brother. That we would enter in at that straight gate. We would enter in at the straight gate. That we would get on the road with Jesus Christ as our Lord. That we would have a beginning of a new life. That the Scripture calls us to. That brings me to the second point I'd like to give a little attention to. And we'll continue our reading here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. "That I may know him, Jesus, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same things. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame. Who mind earthly things, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." The second point I'd like us to think about this morning as we think about what was beating in the heart of our brother Mose was that not only would we be found in him, but that we would know him. And there is a difference. You know, it's one thing to enter in at the straight gate. It's another thing to walk the narrow way. And that was the burden of our brother, I believe, as well. That we would not only be in him, but that we would know the Lord Jesus by a personal, experiential, daily walk with him. And I believe that was one of his passions that I've caught over the years. Having entered into the straight gate is only the beginning. There is a life to live. There are battles to fight. There is an enemy to resist. There is flesh to subdue. And that is the call that all of us have after we have entered in at the straight gate. After we have been born of the Spirit. After we have been translated from the kingdom of His dear Son. There is a life to live. There is battles to be fought. And the cutting edge of that battle for each one of us is to walk in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's think about several scriptures as we consider that. You know, let me just first make a comment about this scripture we just read. There's things in this scripture that talk about, I've not as though I had already attained. Forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forth. I press toward the mark. These are words of aspiration, words of energy, words of striving and pressing into something, a goal, an objective that one is pressing toward. Consider this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25-27. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And that's a sobering verse. It's talking about diligence from the start to the finish. It's talking about being vigilant about our life as a believer in Christ. He's talking about some very practical efforts and energies that he puts in order to finish well. He says, I keep under my body. I bring it into subjection. I run not as uncertainty. I run with purpose. I run with diligence. I run with a vengeance, with a vehemence to cross that finish line and to finish well. And that's what I see in Paul's words here in Philippians, pressing forward, pressing toward the mark. Striving. And that's the battle of daily walking with God. But then we have another perspective to consider, found in Matthew 7, verse 21-23, says this, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, Paul, as he describes his life there in 2 Corinthians about fighting and being diligent, he's describing a life that is lived on the cutting edge of obedience to the will of God, as it's found in the Scriptures. That's what Paul is describing. Jesus is describing a people who were professing a faith in the Lord Jesus, but were walking according to their own rules. Now, Paul says that every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. And I believe another scripture, he says something about that we must strive lawfully. So life, as we look at these contrasts, we see Paul who is talking about aspiring to greater things in Christ. In other words, pressing on, striving for let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded, striving toward in that daily relationship with Christ. And then we see the contrast where Jesus speaks of a people who make a profession, but according to Christ's very own words, do not obey the will of the Father. make a profession, but do not obey the will of the Father. And the contrast that it is. And so, as we talked about this battle that we fight, that we are in, there is a life to live, there is a battle to fight, there's an enemy to resist, there is a flesh to subdue. And that battle is fought by our daily choices. That battle is fought by us, our daily choices. We choose moment by moment, day by day, step by step, what we are going to do with the various opportunities and situations that life presents to us. And we choose whether we're going to bring our lives into obedience of Christ or whether we're going to choose to do otherwise. Whether we're going to choose to submit ourselves in obedience to the will of God as we find it in the Scriptures, or whether we're going to, as those who Jesus spoke of here, that make a profession of faith, make a profession of knowing the Lord, but do not walk in His ways, do not walk in His will, do not walk in obedience. So we have those moment by moment and day by day choices, decisions to bring our own will and our own desires into subjection to the will of God. Paul in Romans 12, 1 and 2 says it this way, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we also see the contrast here in this scripture in Philippians, where Paul talks about pressing toward the mark, about the cross-bearing life and all that. And then he also contrasts it with those in verse 19, 20, and 19 rather, or verse 18, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. So we have that contrast. And as I said earlier, you know, I believe it was one of the burdens of our brother Mose that we would not only be in Him, in Christ, but that we would know Him. That we would know Him by a life of obedience to Him. That we would pursue a lifetime of obedience. As the Lord Jesus rules and reigns in our hearts and lives, we would daily surrender our will to His will. And that even like the Scripture says here in Philippians 4, verse 1, which we didn't read that verse, but therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. You know, I believe that was the heart of our brother, Brother Mose, that we, those who he ministered to, would stand fast in the faith of our Lord Jesus. That we would stand fast. And I believe that was also the heart of the Apostle Paul, or rather, maybe I could first of all say the Apostle John. In 1 John 2, verse 9, John says this, He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So that was also the burden of the Apostle John, that we would know him, the Lord Jesus, and that we would walk in him. And that if we claim to know Him, but we don't obey Him, then we are deceiving ourselves. And so I want to encourage us again today with these words. I believe it was also the burden of our Lord Jesus that we would know the Lord, know Him. He says in His prayer in John 17, verse 15 and 19, I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. As Thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. So we have the Apostle Paul. We have the Apostle John. We have the Lord Jesus Himself speaking to us and exhorting us and reminding us that to know the Lord Jesus is to walk in obedience to Him. To know Him is to walk in obedience. We don't just want to be in Him, but we want to know Him. We want to know Him by a life of obedience. And as we choose obedience, the Spirit of the living God comes behind us and empowers us to walk in His ways. As we choose obedience. But we first have to choose to walk and to know Him and to choose to bring our lives into obedience and submission to the living Christ as it's revealed in the Word. So my closing questions are these, two of them. How are we doing? I believe this was the passion and one of the passions of our brother Moses' heart. How are we doing? And number two, are we living on the cutting edge of obedience to the will of God as it is revealed in the Scriptures? I believe that was the burden of our brother, that there would be a people that know the Lord Jesus, that are in Him, and that know Him by a life of obedience, a life of holiness, a life of commitment, a life of dedication. May God add His blessings to all of us as we together share in the grief of the passing of our brother Mose. God bless.
Thank you, children, and to the choir that sang at the beginning of the service. It's been your privilege to bring a lot of joy to Brother Mose over the last years. God bless you. Loving greetings to all of you this morning as we continue on with this service. Special greetings to you, Sister Rhoda, Myron and Lisa and the family, and all the extended family. We hurt with you, probably not in the same way, but Brother Mose had a big enough place in our hearts that we hurt with you. Special greetings also to the Ephrata Church here. Brother Mose leaves a hole in a lot of different places, but very specifically the hole in the Ephrata Church is acute. And we carry all of you on our hearts, especially this morning. I'm humbled to have the chance to share today. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. I'm very thankful that God made it possible for me to come. I have known Brother Mose for almost 40 years, like was already stated, since I was just a very little boy. At first, Brother Mose was the man with the booming voice, and could be overwhelming for little children meeting him. And I remember meeting him and staying in his basement when we first moved to Pennsylvania. As I grew a little older, Brother Mose was the preacher who told such interesting stories when he preached that an hour could fly by, sometimes 90 minutes could go by, and you would be interested to listen to his preaching. That matters a lot when you're 7, 8, 9, 10, and you're sitting in a long service. And Brother Mose told stories in such a way that we listened to a lot of preaching from him. As I grew to be a young person, I looked up to Brother Mose throughout my youth, drawing a lot of strength from his powerful preaching. And as I look back in my life, his messages are major building blocks in who I am today. And I respect him for that, and I thank God for his role in my life. I've been gone now in Africa for about 20 years, so for the last 20 years, my contact with him has not been every day or very regular, but we have come back to the States over the years, and a couple of those times we stayed in Brother Mose and Rhoda's basement apartment as a family, and have continued to have very sweet interaction. My children call Mose and Rhoda Grandpa Mose and Rhoda, and that's not taking away from those for whom he's really a grandpa. Over the last few years, our relationship has been a little bit more like comrades, co-ministers together, carrying burdens. I've been privileged to catch some of Brother Mose's tears and burdens for the church over the last few years. I've also been privileged to see that there was still fire in his heart for Christ's kingdom and for the holiness of the bride. And that's been a real privilege. I could tell a lot of stories. I'm not going to take the time to do that. That's not what I was asked to do this morning. But there are lots of special memories in my heart. I remember going to Denver Cold Storage in the early days and riding a golf cart, which was more thrilling than anything I had ridden up to that point. I remember sharing Thanksgiving Day meals with Mose and Rhoda. We, the Keniston family, had left all of our relatives far away in Nebraska, and we shared many Thanksgiving Day meals together in those early years. Those are a meaningful memory to me. When my wife and I got married in 99, we stayed for about 6 months in Mose and Rhoda's basement before we moved to the mission field. I remember one day we came home from work, my wife and I, and Mose and Rhoda were jumping on the trampoline. And I share that not in jest. It's a powerful thing to stay married and in love for that many years. And my wife and I were newlyweds. For us to jump on the trampoline and laugh and play was expected. it was a testimony for Mose and Rhoda to still have that love. And that was a lot of years ago, and I know that love remains. I'm not sure you've been on the trampoline lately, but that love remains, and that's a powerful testimony. We lived in the basement. My wife and I were singing together, and we would hear Mose and Rhoda singing together upstairs. And what a just a quiet, everyday testimony that was. I thought of how much Brother Mose loved to tell stories of what God was doing around the world. In the early days of the Charity Church, as my father and Brother Mose traveled and would come back, we looked forward to Sunday morning when they would come back and tell where they were preaching and what God did and the people who came and the lives that were changed. And we were spellbound listening to the stories of what God was doing in other places. Brother Mose sometimes traveled overseas and brought back stories of Germany and more recently Bolivia and other countries. And he loved to tell those stories. In the very early days when my father and Brother Mose worked together very closely, they traveled together a lot preaching. And each of them would counsel after the service. And then they would get back together. In the early days, they stayed together in one room, sometimes in a travel trailer, sometimes in a single room of a hotel. And they would get back together late at night and just overflow. You know, you need to wind down after that kind of spiritual pouring out of your life. And they would tell stories and give glory to God and shout a little bit and sing a little bit. And I remember catching that afterglow on numerous occasions. I remember my father telling a story of Brother Mose putting some chicken nuggets in the microwave, middle of the night. And then he pulled those chicken nuggets out of the microwave, just my father and Mose there together in a hotel room. Pulled those chicken nuggets out of the microwave and stood there holding the plate, telling the story of deliverance in somebody's life. And those chicken nuggets melted right through that plate and fell onto the carpet. But those of you who knew him well would testify of how much he loved to tell a good story, especially stories about what God was doing. We've lost a number of people in the last couple of years in my father's age group and Brother Moses' age group. And I don't know exactly how heaven is arranged, and I don't know exactly the setup that God has there, but I think of them getting together and telling stories. And I delight in that possible thought. Let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 23. There were a number of hurdles to cross for me to be able to be here, and I'm really thankful to God. So when I heard of Brother Moses passing, I didn't think I was going to be able to be here. But as the opportunity opened up, my mind immediately went to 2 Samuel chapter 23, two verses, verse 11 and 12. 2 Samuel 23 is a list of the mighty men of David. And for most of us who are here, if we were to mention mighty men of God that we have known or who've left an imprint on our lives, Brother Mose would be on that list of mighty men. And I don't think that Brother Mose was only mighty just among those of us who are here. I believe he was truly a great man. And so I thought of Shammah, and I want to just share these two verses with you today. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 11. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he, Shammah, stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. This last week, I've just thought multiple times that we, those of us who hold Brother Mose to be a friend, we have lost a Shammah. We have lost a mighty man. God's kingdom has lost a man who stood. Brother Mose was not a small man. He was a tall man, broad shoulders. He had a a large voice. He also had a personality that was strong. When Brother Mose stood for something, you knew that he stood for it. The Bible tells us the story here of Shammah, who in the context of the entire Israelite army running away, a disorganized retreat away from the Philistine army, there was a man, a great man of God named Shammah, who stood and defended that field of lentils. And through the standing of that one man, a great victory was won for the kingdom of God. And I do believe that Brother Mose was a Shammah. More so than almost any other man I have known, Brother Mose was willing to stand and he was not willing to run. What did he stand for? What did he stand against? Brother Mose stood against religion without Christ's power. He really wanted your faith in Christ to be real and not just a form. And so he stood against religion without Christ's power. He stood against the infiltration of black magic and the occult into the church. He really stood against it. He could wax eloquent and loud in his denunciation of those occultic or black magic things working their way into the church in any format. He stood against the flesh and against the influence of the world. These were things he stood against, and it really didn't seem to matter to him if everyone else was running. He wasn't going to run. And he stood. He stood against the compromise which was and is sweeping through American Christianity. His was not a voice for running. His was not a voice for compromise. His was not a voice for retreat. He stood. And I thank God for that testimony of his life. I got up real early this morning and listened to the message that Brother Mose preached, I believe, in this pulpit about 3 weeks ago. There are CDs in the back of that message, and it's also available online. I would really recommend you listen to that message. He did not know that it was his final message, but I kind of think he might have preached that message if he would have thought it was his final message. It is a poignant sermon. I would advise you to listen to it. It was very moving for me to listen to. I haven't heard Brother Mose preach very often. Usually when I'm here, I'm preaching. And it was very sweet to listen to Brother Mose preach, to hear his strength of purpose, his strength of conviction, to hear his warnings for the church, his encouragements for the church. You'd really be blessed by that message. In that message this morning, as I listened to it, he addressed the Balaam doctrine, which was, if you cannot curse God's people or curse the church, if you cannot overcome them through curses, then try to overcome them through a compromise and through friendship with the world. That is the Balaam doctrine. And he addressed that in the message this morning. That's the kind of thing Brother Mose has always stood against. I already said this, but I'm going to say it again. When Brother Mose stood for something, you knew that he stood for it. He voiced it. He voiced it loudly. And I thank God for that testimony. Those are the things he stood against. What did he stand for? He stood for the old-time faith. Without any shame, without any embarrassment, he stood for the old-time faith. He stood for the power of the gospel to change people's lives. He stood for that. He stood for the testimony of a holy church in the community, and he believed that a holy church in the community could make a huge difference. I thank God for our own Shammah, a man who stood. I said that we lost one, and I don't believe that means it's over or that the kingdom of God is in some way washed up simply because Brother Mose has gone. In fact, I believe firmly that it's God's intention that the passing of one Sharma would be an opportunity or a motivation or would create a vacuum in which many Sharmas would also stand. I'm looking at myself when I say that. I'm looking at you when I say that. It cannot be that one great man passes away and, well, that was a good life and the things he stood for passionately, but I guess it's just never going to be the same. No, it can't be exactly the same. We will miss Brother Mose, but the opportunity is there for every one of us to stand, take inspiration from the stand that he took, and also stand in the generation ahead. Please turn to the New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Reading the last verse of 1 Timothy 3 and the first verse of 1 Timothy 4. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils. Brother Mose believed in the great gospel. If you wanted him to get excited, listen to him preaching about the power of the gospel to change lives. He believed in that. Without controversy, if you change it to another version, it means without a question. And without a question, Brother Mose believed in that. Also, he believed that in the latter times there would be a falling away. I remember even as a very young man listening to messages in which Brother Mose would detail the end times and what was coming. And he would sometimes bring newspaper clippings to the pulpit and tell us what was happening in the world and what we should be watching for and tried to warn us out ahead. He believed in the power of a great gospel. He also believed that there would be a falling away. And those to me are two of the greatest things that Brother Mose stood for. Last verse, if you can turn to Jude. Book of Jude. Verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. When I think of Brother Mose, these words, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered, those words for me encapsulate his life. Earnestly contend. Sometimes you could misunderstand his earnest contending for the faith. But if you watched his life over many years, you realize that this was a real and genuine passion in his heart. I believe Brother Mose would say to us, it's needful for me to say to you, it's needful for me to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. Brother Mose didn't realize that was his last sermon, but it comes through clearly in that sermon. It's time to earnestly contend for the faith. It's time for a warlike spirit in the battle that we face with the world, the flesh, and the devil. I shared this at my father's funeral, which I preached at here about 8 years ago. It's been mentioned here that Brother Mose loved singing, and he really did. those early days of the Charity Church were massively influenced by the fact that he loved to sing. Brother Mose usually sat at the Charity Church on the second row, and my father sat immediately in front of him on the first row. My father did not know how to sing, didn't grow up singing four-part harmony, and really didn't know how to sing. But he loved to sing. And I remember a Sunday afternoon where someone said to my father, "Brother Denny, what part do you sing?" And my father said, "Me? What part? I sing whatever Brother Mose sings." Because if Brother Mose was singing in your ear, the best thing you could do would just be to harmonize or sing right along with Brother Mose. You'd have to be really good to sing a different part than what Brother Mose was singing in your ears. And my father was not ashamed of it. He said, "I just sing what Brother Mose sings." And so sometimes Brother Mose sang lead, and my father sang lead, and sometimes Brother Mose sang bass, and my father sang bass. The challenge to all of us this morning is to keep the fire burning. The challenge to us is to stand. It cannot be that our Shama passing away means the Philistines, and the Philistines may be different for you. It may be, for one, it's compromise. For one, it's a personal temptation that you're facing. Whatever your Philistines are that attack you personally or your church, it cannot be that the influence of one Shama dying means that the Philistines just overrun God's people. It cannot mean that. And so I use that little story of Brother Mose singing in my father's ear to honor him. I also use it to ask us whether we're willing to sing what Brother Mose sings. Whether we're willing to listen to the messages from the past. What a privilege that we have those. Many of them, hundreds of them. Whether we're willing to listen to the testimony of his life, which is well known to all of us who are here. And whether we're willing to pick up what he sang and sing it. Whether we're willing to pick up what he lived and live it. Whether we're willing to look at the man and what he stood for and say, "Okay, he's not here to stand, but I'll stand." And so I'm asking God today to comfort the hearts of the Moses family and extended family and all of us who feel that loss. I'm also asking God today to put in our hearts a passion for the things he stood for. When someone leaves a legacy, they do not want that legacy to pass away the day that they are buried. We have been handed a legacy. And I challenge all of us today to sing what Brother Mose sings. To stand for the things he stood for. To look at his life and recognize that we have watched a man fight. We have watched a man stand when many others, including myself, wanted to run. We've been blessed to watch a Shama. May God fill our hearts with a passion to stand and to continue to live that great and glorious gospel that he believed in. May God's grace be with all of you. Thank you.
I want to take a moment to give a brief tribute to Brother Mose. As I learned to know him, learned to love him, and learned to and observed him over the last 14 years, I believe that part of his ministry was similar to the prophet Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 3, God called Ezekiel. He said, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me." Mose was a loving watchman over the church or over God's people. He watched over the local church here. He watched over the broader church. He was concerned for both. And when he had opportunity, as was said, he would warn the wicked of their sins. And if the righteous needed correction, he would warn them as well. I believe he fulfilled the Ezekiel part of his calling faithfully and to the best of his ability. The obituary reads, Moses S. Stoltzfus, 74, of Denver, PA, passed into the presence of the Lord on December 6, 2020. Born in Leola, PA, he was preceded in death by his parents, Benjamin and Emma Stoltzfus. He is survived by his wife, Rhoda Mae Zook Stoltzfus. They celebrated their 54th anniversary on June 25th. Also surviving, son Myron D. Stoltzfus, Sr., married to Lisa of Midvale, Idaho. Grandchildren are M. Dale Stoltzfus, Jr., married to Anna. Kristen Joy Clay, married to Dustin. Jaina Josiah, married to Alexandra. Elsie, Bobby, and Carolyn, and seven great-grandchildren. Siblings are Samuel P. Stoltzfus, deceased, husband of Hannah, deceased. Rachel Lapp, wife of John, McVeightown. Sadie Stoltzfus, wife of Jess, of Tonopah, Arizona. Jess is recently deceased. Sylvan, husband of Mary, of Cherry Tree, Pennsylvania. Leon, husband of Wilma, of Jonestown, Pennsylvania. Ruth Stoltzfus, wife of Marvin, of Leola. Berna Beiler, married to Melvin of Elmer, New Jersey, and Alvin, husband of Leona of Romney, West Virginia. His life was one of full of vision and passion for the Lord Jesus Christ and for his church. He was one of the founding members of Charity Christian Fellowship of Leola, Pennsylvania, and was ordained there to be a minister and preacher of the gospel. He was currently serving as elder minister at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, Ephrata, PA. He traveled widely throughout the course of his life and ministered in churches, held revival meetings, and led individuals to the Lord all over the United States, Bolivia, Canada, and Germany. In addition to his life of ministry, he was an astute businessman. He was the founder and former owner of Denver Cold Storage of Denver, PA, a partner at Denver Wholesale Foods of Ephrata, PA, and an advisor to many other businesses. He has finished his course, kept the faith, and has entered into the joy and presence of the Lord.
Turn in your hymnals to number 589. This passing of Brother Mose comes pretty close. We are the same age, 74. And when you get to be my age, you begin to contemplate your mortality. You begin to think of the few years you have left and how you want to invest them. I like the second verse of this song. Saved by the merits of his Lord, glory and praise to Christ he gives. Yet, even though all the praise goes to Christ, still his merciful reward, and it is a merciful reward, we don't deserve a thing, but God in his mercy has even not just saved us from perdition, but is going to reward according to his works receives. You know, in that parable in Matthew 25, where the Lord comes back and rewards the men to whom he gave the talents, there's a statement there that I often ponder, that Brother Mose has some understanding of at this point. He says, because you've been faithful, I will make you ruler over many things. I don't think heaven is going to be a passive place. I think we are going to be rewarded with responsibilities according to the way we met our responsibilities here. Those who did not invest much in the kingdom will be given less than those who gave more in terms of the responsibilities they're given. I will make you ruler over many things, he says to the man who wisely used his 5 talents. So that to me is an incentive to get into the kingdom and pour our hearts out in service. There will be a reward, and it'll be a merciful reward, not one we deserve, but one that we're given because of the merits of our Lord. He's gone, the spotless soul is gone.
Does so me, he's gone, the spotless soul is gone, triumphant to his place above.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. It's of great significance to God. And he sees and he's watching over his children. He even sees a sparrow that falls. Wish to express my sympathies to you, Sister Rhoda, Myron, and your family, siblings to all here today, as we sense a great loss. When I think of Brother Mose, I think of the scriptures in Proverbs 28, verse 1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous, they're bold as a lion. I want to say that I'm honored and humbled to be able to share a few words of tribute to Brother Mose. I met Brother Mose approximately 35 years ago as my wife and I and family, we were seeking the Lord and desiring that reality that was talked about, the reality of a relationship with Christ, the living relationship. And we were introduced to Brother Denny and Brother Mose, and someone said, you know, you ought to go hear these brothers, a former hippie, ex-hippie, and a saved Amishman. You ought to go hear these brothers. And I know my first thoughts way back in the beginning, before we were actually married, we heard that, or shortly after we were married, we heard that statement. And my first thought, I'm not too sure about that. But I praise God and thank God for the opportunity that the Lord has given to me to share together with Brother Denny and Brother Mose. Tremendous privilege. As I think of description of Brother Mose in the scriptures, He exemplified this. He said, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For a necessity, it is laid upon me, and woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. That's how I knew my brother Mose. Shortly after we came to Charity, I was seeing this desire and passion in Brother Mose to help people find deliverance in Christ and being set free and delivered from bondages. And there was a family member in our family, and my siblings and I and my parents, we were praying for. And just a couple months after I got to meet Mose, I asked him, would you join me to go to this out-of-state place to visit a family member and see if we can't help this family member find deliverance? And he was right ready to go. And that's what I so appreciated about Brother Mose, his passion and his heart for people. And so we traveled out of state and took another brother along and spent a day of ministry. And I was just so blessed to experience that together with Brother Mose. One of the other things that I remember very keenly is Brother Mose invited me to come with him to go visit some Hutterite colonies out in the West. And it was wintertime. There was snow on the ground. And we took this little rental car and parked out along a side road somewhere and walked in by foot under cover of darkness into a living room where he preached the gospel. And I was so privileged to be a part of that. And I remember I was just trembling. I said, what if they find us? What if they catch us? And there was already, I believe at that time, a warrant out that he was not allowed to go on to some of these colonies. But there was those in the colonies who were hungering and thirsting for righteousness and gave him an invitation to come. And so we would sit there till late at night, and Brother Mose would preach the gospel in the living room of these people. What a tremendous opportunity. Also, I remember we would hold a meeting in town in a hall there somewhere. And then some angry men came by, and with their loud trucks and disturbing the service, and they finally came in as Mose was preaching. And Mose just started singing, and we all joined in singing as these came in to try to disrupt the service. Probably one of my most memorable experiences was when he asked me to go with him to a Midwestern state to hold some revival meetings. And there I was privileged to be involved and share together with Brother Mose as a person who was set free from satanic bondage and depression. And I got to see a side of Mose that maybe some of us did not see. I got to see Brother Mose's heart just melt with compassion for souls who were in bondage. And it was mentioned here already today, who were involved in the occult and witchcraft and those type of things. And he went after that thing. But there was a tenderness and a compassion, but yet also a very earnest zeal to cast out those demons and see people set free and delivered. And that night, there was a soul gloriously delivered from the powers of darkness and the kingdom of darkness into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. And I got to be there to share together with Brother Mose in that. You know, I thought of this. Brother Mose, he was a gentle giant. I remember up in Washington Square Park, we got on that old school bus. Remember when we went up there on those school buses? And Brother Mose, with his loud voice, we would get up and sing, and then we would preach. But when Mose got up to preach, I could hear it echoing off the other buildings across the other street. And people stopped and listened. And they were so affected by the gospel. I remember that one time, some people got so angry they began to throw glass bottles up at our feet. Do you remember that, Rhoda? Were you along that time, Brother Myron? Brother Mose, he loved the Lord Jesus. It's what compelled him. And so here today, I want to lift up the Jesus that he knew and encourage us all, like we heard in the messages, to know Christ and to love Christ and to make him known. Let that be our passion. I'm grateful, forever grateful, and indebted for the influence Moses had in my life. His fervency, his caring, his kindness, and his uncompromising stand that he took. I would like to just share this one verse yet that reminds me very much of my brother Moses. I think he often preached this, and I just remember it making an impact on my heart. Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And then I can just see him say this next verse, holding forth the word of life. And he would emphasize that, holding forth the word of life. Yes. That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. The Lord bless you. I'm going to really miss Brother Mose. It was 1990 that I was ordained and I had the privilege to labor together with Brother Mose for many years. And he taught me so many things about the Christian life. And I'm so thankful because at that time, we were really seeking the Lord. And as was mentioned here today, Mose was one of those who stood for the faith. And he told me, Brother Aaron, you don't have to throw everything away from your background. Search the scriptures, seek truth, and obey and follow what the scriptures teach. And we are very grateful, and we thank God for a faithful brother who's gone before. The Lord bless you.
Our hearts grieve with you and hurt with you today. We feel your loss. We also feel loss. I met Mose 35 years ago myself for the first time. That day I had no idea how much interaction we would have. My wife and I moved to Pennsylvania as newlyweds, attended the church at Charity. I worked for Moe's there, Denver Cold Storage. I was a young Amish boy, and I was not real settled on where I am doctrinally. I had a bit of charismatic influence at the time. My life was a little bit like this. And as I look back over those 3 years that I spent under the teaching and guidance of Brother Mose and Brother Denny and others as well, it established my goings. And I've not been the same since. I came loving the Lord. That part fit right in and is excited about it. But like Aaron said, the guidance that brings you down to, okay, go this way. I agree with everything that's been said here. I'd like to try to fill just a little bit different spot here this morning from what the other brothers have been sharing. I'd like to share in light of a spiritual son and an employee, and see if I can discipline myself to get both of those aspects in the time that we have here. While we lived here, Mose and Rhoda were like parents to us. And it's a relationship that has just continued. And I think it's a blessing when people can have open hearts. And as I share this, thought about coming up here, and I wonder how many here feel the same thing that I feel and that we feel. I'd like to read a few verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 6 says, "And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another." And this is in a church where Paul was giving them a lot of correction. I'd encourage you just to read 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians in light of a father to a church giving correction and the church's response. But he's saying, don't think of us higher than what is right, above that which is written. We have a Father in heaven. So when we say a Father, we want to keep the right perspective. Then on down in the same chapter, in verse 14, 15, and 16, I'd like to just read this. Verse 14, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though we have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. And I know if Brother Moses standing up here, he would really hesitate to say what Paul is saying here. And I think I'm safe here today in saying the same thing for Brother Mose, that we would follow him. And as I think about the aspect of a spiritual son, there are many that feel like spiritual sons and daughters of Brother Mose. There's many instructors, but there's not many fathers. Mose filled the place of a father in many of our lives. We feel a sense of loss with that. There's been comments made here today about Mose having a strong personality, one that stood firm, one that pushed through even when nobody else would stand. I'd like to just share some father experience with Brother Mose that I think many will identify with. Brother Mose loved us, cared about us, and wanted us to go the right direction and end up in the right place. And he was a man that wasn't willing to just sit there and watch somebody go the wrong way. He wasn't willing to let us just keep stumbling through our failures. And thus I found myself in Moses' office having a one-on-one conversation. And Brother Mose would share what he saw in my life. He was frank. He was honest. And yeah, maybe there wasn't a lot of sugar. I could have reacted. But I like to ask this question. Should I react to what is true about the needs in my heart and life? When a man is father enough to care, to be honest with me, because he wants me to be able to be effective in the church and in my life. His real desire was to see me grow. You know, verse 14 says, I write not these things to shame you. I think it would be fitting to say Mose was not saying the things he said to us personally about our needs to hurt us. He was not saying that to hurt us. But rather, he was committed to helping us be effective. He was committed himself to living and teaching the Bible truth and wanted us to go that same way. Brother Mose had a keen sense of discernment. Therefore, he'd see things we didn't all see always. I'd like to switch to work for a little bit. That dates back 32 years for me at Denver Cold Storage, a long time. Back then, Denver Cold Storage had 7 employees. We were this little circle that related very closely, and I would like to tell you about Mose coming back and telling us stories, but there's not time for that. Others have talked about that. But Mose would walk in the door in the morning. Good morning! So it's a good, strong, cheery good morning. After having been gone for a period of time, he'd want to come into my office and sit down and just talk and hear. So what's happened? How's it going? And just connect. I learned very many valuable lessons from Mose. One thing I can say, and I think other employees would agree with me, Mose was a very sincere, genuine, wholehearted man. He wasn't afraid to get dirty. I can picture Mose all sweated up, his face smudged with grease, being elbow deep in whatever he was doing. He loved his engine room, which I never understood. He could do miracles in that engine room. He would tell you for hours how it worked if you can keep up with it. But he dreamt and slept that thing, made that thing work. And it was a blessing working with him. I learned from Mose, when there's big decisions, you call together your workers. At that point, it would have been Myron and myself. He called us together. We had a day when we were faced with a business decision, we were going to lose the biggest customer we had, which Mose started with. or let them have the whole thing. And I remember sitting down and discussing it. We all knew this is Moses' decision. But he asked us to come sit down. He wanted to hear what we thought before he made his decision. This strong, standalone man. That was a different side. We got another company in called Brandywine Foods. This was order picking. Our first at Denver Cold Storage. Denver Cold Storage has never been the same since. But this was new for us. We weren't just unloading and unracking trucks and loading and going on. Now we were picking through. It's a complete change, and you have to get into the company to understand it. Anyway, we had a problem. It was chicken was coming in 2, 3, and 4 trucks a day at about 120 cases per pallet. And there was these 1.5-inch plastic slats in between each one. We'd stick them in a blast freezer for 48 hours to freeze them. And once that product was froze, those slats all had to come out. Highly labor intensive. 44 to 88 pallets a day. And they weren't quitting. They were keeping on coming. If you get behind, you're in trouble. There's a lot of labor. And Moses laboring over this thing. One day he walks in the door and he says, "Hey, I have a machine in my mind." He had an amazing engineering mind. No blueprints. He just thought this thing out. Again, he calls Meyer and I into the office. He explained this whole thing to us, how it's going to work, and cylinders were moving from here and from here, and we were going to take a pallet and put it in there and lay this pallet on its side, and we're going to keep the boxes upright with everything moving and just pull these slats right out of there and set it back up and be ready to wrap and go. Here's a man with a sharp mind, and guess what he did? He sat us down and he said, "Now, I want you to tell me where my problems are and how I'm thinking." I never forgot that. You know, us men, when we have good ideas, we're convinced on them. We don't want someone picking them apart. Well, he didn't want to fail. He was so committed to not failing, he wanted to know the problems out ahead. And Myron and I sat there and we began shooting holes because we knew what the operations of the everyday are and what's going to happen and where. And he'd sit there, "Oh, we'll do this. That'll fix that problem." And maybe he'd look at us and say, well, can you help me? How do we solve that? We've got to solve this thing. And the meeting was done. He's off to see Lawrence Martin to build this machine. And the end result was that we had what we called the dumper. Well, we take those pallets, lay them on their sides, and pull those slats up and set it back up and be ready to shrink wrap it to go on a truck in 2 minutes. I just checked with Dave the other evening. Am I right on the 2 minutes? And he goes, "Oh, yeah. Still have one of those machines." Another aspect of Moses, the strong man that needed others. He liked to work together. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1 says, "Be you followers of me, as I also am of Christ." I find that a challenge as I look at the future. We discussed his shoes, filling his shoes. But you know, there's a call for each one of us to rise up. God has said Moses' journey is done, and he's looking at us and say, "Will you rise up, pick up the baton, and go with it?"
It is a privilege today to share with you all the perspective of a son, an only son. And there's so much that I could say, and so many good things have been said today, both in pointing to Christ and the Word, and also the stories. I appreciate that very much. Brother Daniel, I have my father's Bible with me today. And as you turn to the passage in 2 Samuel 23, verse 12, My father has the word circled. But he stood. He took note of that passage, and it meant a lot to me. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says that we are compassed about and surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses. And that should encourage us to lay aside every weight, to lay aside our sins, and to run the race of life with patience and with endurance. Now this refers to the prior chapter, the Hall of Faith in chapter 11, which recounts a summary of many throughout the whole annals of history who walked by faith and they obtained a good testimony. Now the scripture gives these as examples, but as we dig into their lives, we will very quickly observe that they were not perfect in obedience, and they were humans. Humans who lived and learned and loved and sinned, but they walked in faith toward God. And they are given to us as witnesses of how to walk in this world by faith. This is the great cloud of witnesses. As I attempt to honor my father today in these words, I fully acknowledge that he was a sinner. He was one who was saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And in honoring him, I point you to the Lord and Master of his life, the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone can take away sin and wash us clean and make us fit to be partakers of his glorious inheritance. Nevertheless, in the spirit of Hebrews 11 and in accordance with the fifth commandment, let me tell you a little more about this man whose body lies before us. He was the single most important, most influential person in my life. There are a number of men who have been particularly influential as mentors over my 52 years, but he leads the way as number one. Growing up, he was a firm disciplinarian and yet with great love. He was one who just never got angry. He never got angry except at evil and the evil one. He was brave. He was bold. He was uncompromising. He was courageous. He was tender and compassionate. He stood firm against sin and unrighteousness and was not afraid to call things what they were. And yet, even as we heard already, he treated the sinner with respect and tenderness, wanting to help them to be delivered from a life of bondage and slavery to sin. So many times, God used his boldness to bring repentance, restoration, and healing. He was a lion of a man. I honor him today for his love of God. He loved God. And he loved God's people. And he loved God's church. He was a man who fully loved God with all of his heart and soul and mind and strength. With every fiber of his being, he exuded that love for God, the love for the people of God, and the love for God's word. He hungered and he thirsted after God. He wanted to know him more and more. He was a churchman, one who loved God's people and to see God's kingdom firmly established and expand throughout the world. He was a zealous and passionate servant of Christ. I honor him today for his marital fidelity. He was a one-woman man. He preached about the blessings and the bliss of marital love, and he demonstrated it. And he spoke against sexual sins and perversions, which God hates. But he practiced what he preached. I do not know of one even glimmer of a hint of impropriety or an improper relationship. His love for my mother was infectious. And he was never ashamed to proclaim her virtue. His praise of her cooking was effusive and even a little intimidating sometimes when he would eat in other people's homes and the wives were afraid that they couldn't measure up to my mom. But he loved her and he praised her virtues wherever he was, including at home. Their relationship was very special and I grew up surrounded and secured in that love. He was a loving husband. I honor him today for the integrity of walking according to his conscience as informed by God's holy word, the scriptures. In my teenage years, this led to some very difficult situations and decisions that were greatly misunderstood, and he paid a high cost. But in it, he never faltered in faithfulness to what he believed that God required of him. Later in life, he and I did not see eye to eye on various issues, including some theological matters. But he was true to what he understood the Bible and God through the Word to require of him. He was a faithful man. I honor him today for his wisdom. He was a man of great and broad knowledge and wisdom. He loved to learn. He was always researching a more efficient lighting system, or researching new refrigerants, or reading about the latest fads or trends in modern evangelicalism so that he could speak to the issues of today properly. His knowledge of history was broad. There were so many things that he had a breadth of knowledge on that he could be asked questions about railroads, about refrigeration, about troubleshooting problems in business or in churches, or fixing electrical difficulties. He followed things of a political nature, of religious nature, and a business nature. Today, we will bury a tremendous amount of experience and wisdom that will be greatly missed by many who dug deep at the wealth of knowledge that he had. He was a wise man, a sage. I honor him today for his fortitude and endurance. He was able to face tribulation with much faith and resolution. There were so many times that he was faced with things, and he was able to put to death the fear of man in an amazing way. But something that probably most of you don't know, if you would, going back far enough, my mind goes back to two times when he experienced tremendous financial loss. The first time was in the 1980s, the early 1980s. He and I worked together to rebuild meat processing machinery. And then we would sell them to butcher shops and processing facilities. There was a time when he sold, it was for that time period especially, a high-priced piece of equipment to a company through a broker. And the broker kept the money and didn't pay him for it. This was very difficult times for us, as it nearly financially ruined him. But yet, with great resolution, he just put his neck into the yoke and he plowed ahead with the hard work to recover from this loss. And he recovered. He did so amazingly, so that no one was unpaid. Several years later, after Denver Cold Storage had been going a few years, he was attempting to maximize his space and he stored bins of apples in the cooler right outside of the freezer. Oh, it smelled so good in the cooler. You'd walk out and the smell of apples was wonderful. But what he didn't know was that smell was going into the freezer and was permeating tractor trailer loads, many tractor trailer loads of frozen chicken. Sometime later, his largest customer came to him and they showed and demonstrated that the chicken was tainted because of that apple smell. He thought he had liability insurance that would pay for the product, but it didn't. he was stuck with the bill for many, many trailer loads of fried chicken. He did end up working out a payment plan for an incredible amount of money to the customer, which allowed him some grace and time to pay it off. He did tell them that he believed that he could do so, and he would set himself to do so if they didn't take the business away from him. And they said, okay. He dealt with it, took care of the problem. He was able to forge ahead with the business, and he paid every dollar back. This is the man of integrity that he was. He put his shoulder to the wheel again, and he pushed ahead. If he owed somebody something, he did everything within his power to see that it was repaid properly and on time. He was a man of integrity. I honor him for his ability to serve God in both ministry and in business. Paul spoke already a little bit about that. But he was an astute and competent businessman who had a God-given knack and a skill for business that amazes me over and over. And he loved this part of his life. But it was never divorced or compartmentalized apart from his passionate love for God and his people and people. I remember seeing salesmen and business peers who would come into the office to meet with him, and they'd love to talk shop, and they were ready to do deals together and to sell things or to talk about the business. But they many times would begin the conversation by asking him, "Where have you been to? What have you been preaching about? Who have you been ministering to?" They wanted to know the stories. And then they talk about the business that they came to see him about. They were fascinated and intrigued by those stories. There was no one like him in that way. And furthermore, they respected him. They respected him immensely, both as the spiritual person and the businessman that he was. I needed to call some of those older associates this past week. And they again told me stories of their relationships with him. It was just astounding. He was a Christian businessman. Finally, I honor him for how he loved children. I am an only child, and my parents prayed repeatedly for more children, but the Lord did not grant their request. So they started taking in foster children and caring for them. Some were black, some were white, some were biracial. It didn't matter one iota. I never saw my parents make disparaging remarks about the difference of melanin in the skin. They loved them all. They set an incredible standard in relationships across racial lines that was just tremendous. They followed the biblical and right standard of treating everyone equally, and I learned it well. It was this, growing up in this environment, that just was such a blessing for my wife and I, as we chose to also adopt some children, and we're so privileged to, for that they are our sons and daughters. My wife and I, all in doing so, my father and mother, they never treated them as any different in any way. They're our children. And they are. They're our children. And that's the way we were blessed. He loved them all. Some of the foster children are still in contact with him and deeply appreciate how they were blessed by living in their home. Some are with us today. Maria, I'm glad you're here. Ben, and if there's others I'm missing. Over the years, they were able to have many spiritual children, people whom they had cared for, discipled, led to the Lord, and helped to get on their feet. Many of you are also here today or watching by live stream. Wherever he would go, he would pay special attention to the little children and want to hold them or talk to them or show appreciation for them in some way. He became known as the M&M man. because he would always carry a small bottle of M&Ms with him in order to be able to talk to them and to win them to not be afraid of his booming voice, and so that he could speak to them or care for them, or if they were really little, hold them. He truly lived out what Jesus said in Matthew 19, verse 14. Let the little children come unto me and do not forbid them, for such of such is the kingdom of heaven. Well, what more can I say? There's just so much. His love of singing, his appreciation for beautiful music, his involvement with German and Russian believers who lived through persecution. He studied and learned the German language and traveled there widely and heard so many stories. He brought some to the U.S. and translated for them. And believe me, there was no one who could translate like he could in the spirit and entering into the spirit and passion of the sermon. There was his first meeting with Brother Denny in Sparta, Tennessee, and their vision and collaboration together. There was his deep love for and relationships with the Hutterite communities and his ministry there. And there's many of you that came from that who are here today. There was his street preaching ministry to Boston, where they would load up a van load of men. And this is in my way back in my young childhood. And they would drive overnight to the Boston Common so that they could preach the gospel there. And there was his collaboration with other churches in that ministry. There is just so much. And time fails me, but he was a good man through the grace of God. I'll close with these few scriptures. Numbers chapter 23, verse 10, the second part says, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. And Revelation 14, verse 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And finally, at the request of my mother, this passage from Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 to 7. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. He has fought the fight. He has finished the course. He has kept the faith. He has entered into the presence of the Lord, there to experience the joy of the Lord for all eternity. Thank you.
Turn in your hymnals to number 64. If Brother Mose had been here today to hear all the things that were said, I think he would say what David said in Psalm 23. And Psalm 23 is not a psalm of escape from reality. David talks about real enemies. He talks about real evil. He talks about death. He talks about danger. But he reflects, I think, over his life, and he says what I think Brother Mose would say about everything that was said. Through all of that, there was a real presence. I didn't always feel that presence, but it was there. And as a person his age, looking back over my life, I can identify with that. There has been a presence. Always there. Always to deliver. And my response is the same as these songs. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He is a good shepherd. I will abide in thy dwelling place forever. Let's have the descant on the last verse. You will notice I cannot sing the high notes, so you sopranos just go ahead and sing them.
Do me, I will abide in thy dwelling place forever. I will be trust and bear thy covered claim. Daily prayer.
number 60. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall have no unfulfilled desires. It's tremendous. And it's true. Descant on verse 5.
So the Lord's my shepherd, I'm not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the
just now see.
Praise God. What a fitting way to end this service in commemoration of our brother who's passed into glory. And maybe he's singing that hallelujah chorus right now. Thank you to each one who shared. Very rich and meaningful for me sitting here and hearing all of these stories and the challenges that our brother has left us. Thank you. Before we proceed with the viewing, could we stand together for closing prayer? Our Father in heaven, we come to you in Jesus' name this afternoon, Lord. Our hearts are touched. There's sorrow, there's grief, and yet there's joy. As we consider the life of our brother, who's gone on before, who's lived his life well. He's left an example for us to follow. I pray, Lord, that you would help each of us just to keep our eyes on you in the days and weeks and years ahead. Minister to each hurting heart. Bring comfort to those of us, all of us who are sorrowing, especially those who are close and near and dear. Comfort them, I pray, by your presence. Help us all, Lord, to follow this follower of the Lamb and conquer all through Jesus' name. Give us that vision. Give us that courage, Lord, as we go from here. And we just pray your blessing upon each one who's gathered here today. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.